guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Hey, this is Ring of Honor Superstar Donovan Dijak, and you're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is the one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. This week, we are talking NWA WCW from June the 7th of 1986. I'm sitting here with Doc Hardbody Harper, and it was a sad week. We didn't even talk about this pre-show, but the legendary Lance Russell unfortunately passed away, and I spent a lot of time before the show looking for the perfect soundbite for Lance Russell, but I don't know if I could really find one because there were so many of them. Doc, what's going on, man? I'm sure you heard the news.
How big of a week is it when Lance Russell can die and he's not even the biggest story?
What are you talking about?
Okay, so now I'm going to test this hypothesis.
All right.
Oh, are you the only person in America, Mild Mike, that doesn't like Tom Petty?
Okay, so...
because everybody likes Tom Petty. You can't gloss over that. This is a week where Lance Russell and Tom Petty died. Those are two Southern icons.
Audience is going to know more about Lance Russell. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know about that.
Yeah, but Tom Petty, he was a big deal back
Tom
in the day.
Tom Petty's a big deal every day.
You know y'all are asking the wrong person about Tom Petty.
I know.
I'm
going to
get hate mail because...
I'm putting your business out there. Because here's the thing. You could say, well, I like the Rolling Stones. And somebody's going to go, yeah, but the Beatles are better. Or I like Bruce Springsteen. He's too northern. Or somebody's going to say, I don't like that grunge shit. Or I don't like rap. Dude, I don't know anybody who doesn't like Tom Petty. Whether you're into music, the musicians I know love Tom Petty. Older people like him. People our age like him. Everybody. And then you got, in the same week, arguably the best wrestling announcer of all time. What a week. Everybody's dying.
He is the best wrestling announcer. He was my number one when we did announcers, in my opinion. I mean,
everybody's dying. I mean, think about it. Everybody is dying.
We're
getting old.
That's right. Bruh.
Lance Russell, rest in peace. I mean, this is right on the heels of Bobby Heenan. Just a tragic time, man. It's sad. It feels like we go through these periods every few years now where it's like we lose a few legends at a time. I mean, I think back to when Dusty and Roddy passed away, like, you know, wasn't far away from each other, and I think Buddy passed away that same year. So just legends gone. And man, I'm sorry, man, you go back and listen to Lance Russell, and Travis Heckle will know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just a pleasure to listen to him call a match and just his voice and him calm. All right, guys, calm down when the heels were losing it in the studio and whatnot. So, all right, Harper, let's have some fun, man. We talked about some sad things with Lance Russell. You got a crazy Craigslist ad, man. Won't you read it and then we'll get started with the show?
Okay, hold on, damn it.
Okay. And the title, while you're pulling it up, I'll tell everybody. The title of the crazy Craigslist ad is "You Farted in Kroger Yesterday." I got this from Real Bobby Huff on Twitter. It's, again, "You Farted in Kroger Yesterday." Go ahead and read us the ad. It's a short one, but read it, Harper.
"You were the tall brunette with the near perfect body that farted in the bread section last night. I was the tall guy next to you that looked over and asked, 'Was that you?' You quickly replied, 'No, it wasn't me.' And you almost seemed insulted, I would ask. As the stink grew, you continued to deny
your flat
pants. Yeah. but it was waving. But it was evident. I tried to get rid of the stench by waving too low Sonata bread.
Of ciabatta bread.
Yeah. You proceeded to storm off in an angry manner. You are beautiful, and even if you are a liar and fart like a Clydesdale, I'll love to meet up.
So let me read it again for clarification purposes. You were the tall brunette with the near perfect body that farted in the bread section last night. I was the tall guy next to you that looked over and asked, "Was that you?" You quickly replied, "No, it wasn't me." You know, because that's broads. They don't want to be insulted. They don't fart or something. You almost seemed insulted, I would ask. As the stink grew, you continued to deny your flatulence, but it was evident. I tried to get rid of the stench by waving two loaves of ciabatta bread. You proceeded to storm off in an angry manner. You are beautiful, and even if you are a liar and fart like a Clydesdale, I'd love to meet up. That was from at the real Buff Huff on Twitter, a patron member and longtime fan of the show. So, hey, I brought back the crazy Craigslist. Thank you, thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that.
I got a little something too. I found.
Oh, go ahead.
Apparently, Charlotte was on the Sam Roberts podcast. Did you hear about this?
I know she was on. I mean, I didn't listen to it.
So apparently, this is what Charlotte said. When he was first taken off the machine and the doctors wanted to have him walk around, he needed help and support, but he didn't even know who I was. And he was just pushing the walker and quoting numbers of towns from shows in the 80s. I was like, that's great. He can quote me the numbers from a show in Chicago in the 80s, but he doesn't know who I am. He goes on and on, and he's like, so he's pushing the walker with the nurses, and he's pushing and pushing, and then he just stops and starts strutting in the ICU. He doesn't know who I am and isn't really talking yet, but he just starts strutting, and I was like, this isn't real. That's
she
awesome.
Had to be making that up.
Then she goes on and says, and I wasn't going to read this, but since you said it, she goes, when his 30 for 30 comes out in November, you will realize wrestling is my dad's first love, and that's what he lives for. That's why I think we're so close now, because I'm in the industry, and I get it. I get him wanting to be in the main event every night.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine him just wooing and grabbing ass and not even being able to speak? It's so him that he doesn't even have to talk or be able to be the next.
You imagine walking into that ICU, like, and we're us three are wrestling fans, and we see Rick, like, struggling, but he's able to hit a woo in his walker. You'd have been like,
he gets into a woo off like with Jay Lethal, but he can't recognize his family members.
That's crazy.
It's like he can see his imaginary friend, but he can't see his family members. Oh boy, Let's move on. Shout out real quick. So last week, this is from at Tim Moretti, but last week we talked about Hall of Fame patron member at Tim Moretti. Last week's unmasking of the fake James boys. Tim told me was in the Greenwood Civic Center in Greenwood, South Carolina, with a capacity of 4,800 people. If y'all remember, we talked about that building and if it had AC or not. And Tim said, first, Tim is from North Carolina, and he mentioned he'd be shocked if any small arenas in the South in the 80s had AC. He often attended the Dorton Arena for the matchups during this time frame. That was twice the size of Greenwood, and it did not have AC. Here's the thing. It's no different than in the 80s, the rec centers that I remember down in Louisiana, any of them in Louisiana in that time. I mean, if it was built in the 80s, it may have had AC, but if it was just there from 10, 15 years already, that some bitch didn't have AC generally.
You know that the rats there, Wanda the rat was like, she would smell like nicotine from the waist up and just stank ass crotch.
She probably smelled like a tuna sub with extra fucking onion from Subway.
And that had consumed a half a pack of Newports.
Oh God.
Do it, dude. I wouldn't. Let's just say I don't want to find out. Leave it at that. But yes, you can imagine
that right there is reason number 43 why Dickie Murdoch would have ate you alive, boy.
Dickie would eat you alive. All right, so let's move on. Let's get into the show. All right, so this week we're talking NWA WCW from June 7th, 1986, sponsored by the Wrestling Palace in Traders Village in Grand Prairie, Texas. Go check them out if you live in the area. If not, check them out on Facebook. Arturo's a good dude. He can get you anything you want as far as wrestling memorabilia. And we get into this week's show. Again, it's from June 7th of 86. The show opens with Rick and Dusty about to mix it up, and the crowd is losing its shit as normal. Also, Crockett tells us that the U.S. title was stripped from Magnum TA due to Magnum's attack on Nikita at the press conference, and more will be mentioned about this later. But the crowd lets out a gasp, like of total disappointment, when they heard this. Doc, did you catch that part of it in the beginning when they, like, just like the air let out the room?
Yeah, I thought it was weird that they were didn't like go. I was like, why are you telling me part of the story? Go ahead and tell me the rest of the story. And
they do this frequently at the beginning of the shows, I noticed. They kind of do this. Yeah. It's a tease.
Well, yeah. And that's 31 years ago. Back then, you could do that shit. Now it's like, no, I want to know what happened. Don't, you can't make me wait.
Right. Well,
back then, you could. What was your alternative?
Good. Yeah, fair point. Harper, I assume you didn't have anything from the opening.
No, who was that guy Dusty was beating up on when he first got into the ring?
So on Worldwide, the whole show was built around Dusty and Rick. And earlier in the show on Worldwide that particular week, there was like a long promo where Dusty calls Rick out, like a real long one. And I think they played part of it in this episode. I'm looking through my notes. So Dusty went out there and had already challenged Rick, and he had challenged Rick like before that happened to come out for a match. And I don't know who the guy was, but it was like that's who he was supposed to wrestle. But Dusty was like, nah, we doing it for the title tonight, baby. And he cuts this long promo on Rick, and, you know, Rick eventually does come out. I don't know who it was, but that's why there was a guy out there, if you were wondering.
Yeah, because I was like, is that Barry Horowitz? What the fuck is that?
That's what I thought. That's exactly who it looked like.
I didn't even look at him that closely, but I guess you're right. Thought, he did have that
my
beard
first thought was it couldn't be him. He's not old enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, who I thought next, but I didn't think he ever wrestled out there was Gorgeous Gary Young.
I have to go back and look at it. And maybe they say it on Worldwide, and I just didn't pay attention to it. Because, like I said, they show it from that point on. Like, they show the whole thing on Worldwide. So I'll go back and look and see, and I'll let y'all know. All right. So after that, there's a promo. It's Ronnie Garvin. It's very, very mundane. Garvin's talking about having a taped fist match where it's going to be 10 rounds, 3 minutes each, basically boxing, except taped fist. I don't have anything. I don't even have the timestamp. Doc, did you have anything from it?
Yeah, nothing special.
It really wasn't. I mean, literally what I just told you. 10 rounds, 3 minutes. That's all he said for about 3 minutes. So after that promo, is a match. It's the Rock and Roll Express versus Kent Glover and Bob Owen. Rock and Roll Express win with a double drop kick. Harper, anything from that one?
Nope.
Doc, you?
Not one thing. Boy, this show's right off to a hell-raising start. Yeah,
tell me about it. Well, let's heat it up. Let's get into the first promo we're going to play, where it's Jim Cornette and Big Bob Rogers.
By the way.
Yeah.
It does say here that Horowitz trained as a professional wrestler under Boris Malenko, debuted in 1979, and had worked for Jim Crockett Promotions in the Mid-Atlantic area at some point. So I guess we can't rule out that it was him at this point.
I'm gonna go back. I'll pull it up at World on the Worldwide episode and look, because I could. I mean, now that you say that, it quite could have been him. It's just hard to really tell.
Well, he did disappear from Smoky Mountain, so there's no telling.
Well, he disappeared. He went out for coffee
and never.
Bro, you ain't lying. In Smoky Mountain, he went out for coffee and never, like, just disappeared off the planet.
He got stuck in a bathroom.
All right, so let's listen to Cornette now. This is the first promo we're gonna play from the episode. Here it is.
Roll Express. Now they travel in twos, don't you?
Do you think that impresses me? Do you think? Hey, they're fixed to have to give a telethon for the Rock and Roll Express if they look any worse. And let me say one more thing. Big Bubba, no trouble. You see, Bubba Rogers taking real good care of me. The James Gang has been nowhere in sight trying to put their hands on my body since Bubba Rogers got here. And James Gang, the masquerade is going to be over real soon. I'm going to get my mother's bounty paid off to the Midnight Express for taking those masks off and showing just everybody just exactly who you are, getting you out of wrestling. And Baby Doll, man, let me tell you something. Baby Doll, you are in a delusion. You are living in a world of fantasy. You have challenged me to put my tights on against a woman, huh, Tony? Against a big woman, but a woman. Let me tell you, Baby Doll, no woman can beat a man in a wrestling match. I know, especially the manager of the World Tag Team Champions, and I didn't get here by being a dummy and by letting goofs like you take advantage of me. You know, she's got the services of Dusty Rhodes of Magnum TA. She's got the services of the Rock and Roll Express, the services of the Road Warriors. Who knows what kind of services are being rendered, but I'll tell you what, Baby Doll, you're going to get rendered if you try to get in that ring with me. I can promise you that for a fact, darling. Come on, Bubba, let's go home.
Jim Cornette and Big Bubba Rogers back with a world champion.
Corny is just vicious on Baby Doll. God damn. Hopper, you go first.
He's just bearing the shit out of her.
Bruh.
And he's a very male chauvinist.
Jesus Christ. Doc, I'll let you go. I got one line that he said that you heard me laugh at it, but go ahead. You tell me what you thought.
First of all, I think you two need to start being a lot nicer to Baby Doll yourselves, because I have seen her getting interactive with the show on social media.
I'm not being mean to her. I'm talking about Cornette's being mean. I would love to have her on the show and talk to her about 85 and 86. I mean, I've got a million and one questions for her.
Why don't you ask her about that president of ours?
I don't really care what her political affiliation
is. All right, anyway.
Politics free zone. I mean, what?
Rendering services can pop me. I don't know why.
That's why I said that.
That term got me. I was like, oh, that's good. That's good stuff.
Well, he set it up. He was like, she's servicing Magnum. She's servicing Dusty. Who knows what kind of services she's running? I was like, God damn, Corny. Shit. Just the
family
assault.
Entertainment.
God. Go ahead, Doc. Keep going.
No, that was it. I mean, shit. We're going to get more Corny later, so I don't want to. I mean, he's going to be piling them up, trying to get his Rolex.
I got a promo of the week too from him. That it's Corny, just from Worldwide, even laying it on that show too. So this wasn't the only one where he did it. All right. So with that said, we go from Corny cutting the gym to it's time for Rick. So let's hear what Rick's got to say.
A big response for this man when he walked out. The world champion Ric Flair.
Time. Let's have some equal time out here. This, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, is what Ric Flair has done to the world of professional sports. Now, if 20 young men can take time out of their life to go out and spend some money on nice clothes and come all the way down here to Atlanta, Georgia, then you know there's got to be 20 million of them all over the country doing it. So, girls, all you out there that are hard-pressed to take off your cowboy boots and blue jeans, remember that one day in your life, you might have the good fortune of walking arm-in-arm, hand-in-hand, or in back a Slick Rick. Because, I am the world champion. Now, Dusty Rhodes. Today is Dusty Rhodes Day. We've been out here week in and week out, and I'm talking about the Four Horsemen, Tully Blanchard, the National Heavyweight Champion, Arn Anderson, the World Television Champion, Ric Flair, woo, if you may, the World Heavyweight Champion, and now, right here today, the return of Ole Anderson. The Fourth Horseman. And what I'm telling you, whether you like it or not, it's today right here you're going to see Dusty Rhodes get beat up real bad. And you know why? Because week in and week out, The Dream has walked out here, and he's threatened us. He's told us what he's going to do. And now, Dusty Rhodes, you're in it again, Daddy. You're the center of attention. You're the focal point. And Big Dust, you're going to pay the price. Now, Ric Flair, 14 great American bashes around the country. 14. And the world champion is going to wrestle the 14 top contenders in the world today. I'm talking about Philadelphia. I'm talking about Memphis. I'm talking about RFK. I'm talking about D.C., Charlotte. I'm talking about the Great American Bash. And for anybody out there that doesn't know what big-time sports is all about, you buy yourself a ticket, because there's not a football game, basketball game, soccer game. There's nothing can follow the National Wrestling Alliance, especially when Ric Flair's name is on the top of the marquee. So Dusty Rhodes, Ricky Martin, you understand? Wahoo McDaniel, Ronnie Garvin, Nikita Koloff, Road Warrior Hawk and Animal. My last words to you are, woo, grab your best hold. Tony, check out that Rolex, Daddy. I got things to do. Woo!
The heavyweight champion of the world, Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Let's go back to the ring.
All right, Doc, you go first this time.
The last line popped me the most is grab your best hold. But the thing I also liked is, you know, we see a lot of solidarity between the heels, good guys and the bad guys. But, I mean, even there, he slipped in Nikita Koloff, pal. I don't care if you're good or bad. I got to keep this title. You ain't getting that.
Yeah.
So I like that piece of it. There's no way he's fighting 14 different guys. I think it's, what, three or four different guys across the bash. But that's okay. That's fine. It's still talking him in the building. And Ole's back, and now it's the four horsemen. We can get that three horsemen thing had been bothering me for a while.
You let that get under your skin too much. It was a
man. I can't deal with it.
Well, the problem is we talked about this offline, and I'm gonna ask Harper that same thing after he first of all, we'll get his thoughts on the promo. But Harper, Doc, and I said we didn't remember Ole being gone that long when the four horsemen were formed. Did you?
No.
I
was wondering if it was going to fucking come back.
Ole, where are you at? It just didn't seem like
it.
Time felt differently back then, which was which was so weird. So I agree, man. It felt like, as we're doing this, it felt like he was gone forever. But Harper, what did you think about the promo?
I tell you, bro, he had to be tickled pink to see them kids wearing the suits.
Jesus.
He's probably be like, damn, look at this shit, bro. I got these kids wearing fucking suits out here.
You imagine if the front row at Wildcat showed up with sleeveless suits, Harper? You would lose your mind.
You're getting sleeveless or suits, but you can't get
I got
both.
Some of them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Man, I liked Ric Flair in 1986, but I wouldn't put on a suit for
Ric
Flair. Got
some of them.
Yeah, I wasn't putting on. I'm not going
to. Yeah, fuck
I
that.
I like Rick in that time period, too. But
they got on TV.
Yeah, well, they sure did. They sure did.
And they got on the DVD, the Ric Flair DVD, because they showed that shit.
Well, yeah, buddy. You know what I liked about it? The last part of it. He took a shit on the NFL, NBA, MLB, etc.
If I'm there, it's bigger than all that bullshit.
He wasn't lying back then, man. Wrestling drew crowds, bro. Look at these small civic centers, and that's just one night in a week. That's not nothing. The other 6 days, they're doing it in a different building. Same shit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the NFL's doing it, you know, 16 days, you know, on a Sunday, but they're doing this 52 weeks a year in a different town every night. Just a different time. That was good stuff from Rick, though. Hey, Doc, anything else from it?
I don't know about that, though. I mean, football was big. I mean,
well, no.
Football might have a little something to say, because people were doing the Super Bowl shuffle and shit back then, too.
I'm not saying football wasn't big. My point is, there's a season. Back then, football was a season. Wrestling was 365, 7 days a week.
That's so when did football stop being a season?
What do you,
you
mean?
You said back then. You just said back then football was a season.
No. When I'm saying back then, I'm talking about wrestling. Wrestling was a constant. I mean, it was every single day, not like now where they're only on the road 4 or 5 days a week at the most. Football has all – well, you have to say this. I mean, football really was back then just a season. Now it's more – they only play 16 games, but off-season training,
but,
there's an NFL
but what
network.
But what you're saying is the work lasts all year long.
It sure the fuck does, and you know that. Come on, man.
I don't know. I don't think you and I. I don't think you and I should talk football anymore.
He's mad at me.
Hey, who's 2-2? Raise your hand.
Everybody.
We all.
They're a bunch of 8-8 bullshit losers.
Okay, so let's keep going.
Damn defending champs.
That's
true, huh?
Okay, so after Flair is the Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez versus Larry Clark. Fernandez wins with a flying burrito very quickly. Then we got a promo with Manny and Boogie that was just terrible. I will let y'all know what happened. We had some technical difficulties, but Doc and Harper both said the promo was the shit, so we're not playing it. Then we had the match. Right after that, with Rick versus Dusty for the world title. This thing is also on the NWA Worldwide episode from the same week. The audio is much better on the Worldwide episode than it is on the WWE Network version we are watching. This is 1986. You ain't getting no clean finish. Arn and Tully hit the ring along with Ole and all of the Four Horsemen who are back together, putting it to Dusty, Magnum, Ricky, Robert, etc. They all hit the ring, but the boots are being laid to Dusty. Doc, I'll throw it to you. What would you have from that?
Does it get any better? It doesn't. I'll go ahead and help you. It doesn't. Hot crowd, horsemen jumping folks. Ole's back on the scene. And then they get over there to the studio, to the stage part, and Ole just ripped it raw, pal.
Pretty much. I mean, that crowd was hot. Harper, what'd you think?
Yeah, fucking Ole shot that promo. He's very believable.
Maybe you should play that promo.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna play. I have one from Arn. Is that the one you're talking about?
Mm-mm.
The one where they got like the banner behind them, which it says like NWA or something.
And people were throwing shit up there at the stage at them and. I keep going, but okay. So finally, Arn's been gone for what? Like,
keep going because I have a timestamp from Arn right now, not Ole, unless I kind of type wrong or something.
It was like he's been gone for 4 months now.
Uh huh.
So that's a big comeback, and then they put the boots, and then he's gonna cut a promo. It basically drew out the battle plans and shit.
Okay, let me play this one, because this is the timestamp I have written down, but I have Arn in my notes. Maybe I didn't note it right, so here it is.
Maybe it's later in the show.
Happy to have Ole Anderson back. And you know, this man right here is going to be smiling when he comes in.
What did I tell you? Our credibility of the Four Horsemen is based on one fact and one fact only. When we tell you something's going to happen, it happens. And Dusty Rhodes, you find yourself in an unenviable position. You are on the rebuttal end of what you and the Road Warriors did to The Rock. Well, The Rock's back, Daddy. Four horsemen, not three, four horsemen. And when we start choosing sides, Rhodes, just remember one thing. Magnum's felt the horrification. Ronnie Garvin's felt it. Sam Houston's felt it. You felt it. You've all been hurt because you want to get in bed with the big dogs. So now, recap it and start asking Dusty Rhodes, how many friends do I really have? When they got to sit there and think, hey, maybe the Four Horsemen going to get me getting out of my car, maybe get me at the bar. We will jump you anywhere, anytime, and The Rock has a few words for you right now, Dusty Rhodes. Roll the tape.
Let's take a look and a listen.
I was next. I thought I was next.
I heard
hurt somebody, Anderson. Maybe our eyes deceive us. Maybe it's somebody that just looks like Anderson. Maybe our TV is messed up. Maybe a pig can fly. Maybe, maybe. There ain't no maybes about it, David Crockett. You're looking at the Four Horsemen. We're back together. Rhodes, you make the biggest mistake of your life by even staying in wrestling. You should have got out. You got two chances now. One is to stay out. The other is to get yourself crippled so bad that even your papa the plumber ain't gonna know you when we get done rearranging your pipes. You take a look at all the people that have tried to help Dusty Rhodes. What's the name? The Rock and Roll Express. Well, here, we got a nose on the other end of this one. We take care of you, Ricky. We go to Robert, and we go to the most important man, the American Dream, the one that everybody believes the sun rises and sets on. Did you really think? Did you really think that you were going to get rid of the Horsemen? Did you really think that Ole Anderson was going to go off to the sawmill and sit for the rest of his life? I tell you this, Rhodes, and no way, there's no way that it's going to be over. I know it now. No way it's going to be over until one of us, and right now, you're looking at the burial team. You're looking at the team that's got the shovels. We got the plot of ground out there, and you might as well realize it, and everybody in the world better realize it. This ain't no joke. This ain't no funnin'. This ain't no April Fools. I'm as serious as I can be. We're going to get rid of Dusty Rhodes. You bank on it. You go down, you can bet on it. I don't care who helps him. I don't care where. I don't know when. All I know is going to be done. And right now, we're going to do a little celebrating because the Four Horsemen are back in business.
The unity, boys. The unity. The Four Horsemen. Yes. 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 Yeah. I thought I was next. I thought I was next. Ha!
Serious words right there from Ole Anderson.
Well, all I heard in every arena across this country was, I'm next. I'm next. Well, Dusty Rhodes, I don't want to say I told you so, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot, toot.
Back, and we'll talk about the U.S. heavyweight.
All right, so I had it messed up. I had Arn written down, and which it was Arn who led into it, but then the Ole promo is obviously in there too. So go ahead, Harper. You were talking about it before we went into it, so your thoughts.
How real does that shit sound?
God. I was sitting there thinking the same thing. There's not a catchphrase in there. I just want to eliminate
no.
you. And I believe that he means it with all of his heart.
It makes you feel like, damn, Dusty's fucked.
Wait till the end of the summer.
Right.
That shit was real. I mean, just from the beginning with Arn, where Arn is like, Arn threw a line out there where he said, maybe we'll get you getting out of the car.
Mm-hmm. In a bar like, somewhere.
A bar. Like, he laid it out like a real, you
crime
know, somebody
syndicate.
That you, yeah, like somebody you really have heat with. It's like,
a
right.
gang. That's
exactly.
what a gang does.
Exactly. They were like a pack of dogs. It was great. Doc, your thoughts, because you texted me about this when Arn said, toot, toot.
Well, that's my one favorite line of all time in wrestling is, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but toot, toot. And in yeah. fact, I say that to unsuspecting people at work all the time. It doesn't go over very well, but I don't really give a shit. So that's my one favorite line. And right there, I mean, I went from Arn starting out to Ole, back to Arn going, which one of these two sons of bitches is getting my Rolex? Because fucking shit, Ole. I mean, Ole is the only guy I can think of in wrestling that could be that serious about saying the word, this ain't no funnin', which is a grandpa thing to say. And I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. It's just and that's just it. There ain't a catchphrase. There's nothing cute. Nobody's going to want to say anything along with it. But I just believe that it is in Ole's bones that he's here to exact revenge. And hey, at the beginning Arn said it. When we tell you we're going to do something, we're going to do it. There you go.
That Dusty was real.
Watch it. Dusty better watch his fat ass.
That was
That's
real.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's real nice, Doc. It's classy of you. Now, Harper, you said it when you started talking. You said, how real does that sound?
Yep, that sounds fucking real as fuck, man.
Ain't no catchphrasing, nah. ain't no line. He's just slinging.
Ain't selling shit.
He's just letting you have it right there. All right, so anything else, Doc, on that?
Setting this shit up. Masterclass.
Yeah. Harper, you anything?
No. Just right. Good shit. Good.
Pretty much.
Time to be a kid back then. Fuck.
Yeah, it was good to be a kid back then. You cutting out again. I don't know what the hell's going on, but we'll hang with it. Alright, so after that, they go to a recap, and it's Shivani and Crockett recapping Magnum attacking Nikita, and then they roll us to a Bob Geigel with Magnum, important announcement. So that's what I'm going to play right here.
As a result of a recent press conference between the United States heavyweight champion Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff, the NWA president Bob Geigel and Magnum TA have been brought together for a very important announcement from the National Wrestling Alliance concerning the United States heavyweight champion.
The board of directors of the National Wrestling Alliance has reviewed an incident that took place at a press conference for contract signing between United States heavyweight champion Magnum TA and challenger Nikita Koloff. It is a majority opinion of the board of directors that the conduct of Magnum TA, the United States title holder, was not in accordance with the standard of conduct that the National Wrestling Alliance would expect from a champion, although it has been noted that there was some strong language on the part of Nikita Koloff, the challenger. There will be no fine. There will be no suspension. But for the record, let it be noted that this is an official reprimand for the United States champion, Magnum TA, for conduct unbecoming a champion.
Well, just wait a minute now. You forget about the U.S. Heavyweight Championship. Forget about the whole NWA. This is my mom here. This is family. That's different. That's got to deserve some kind of other consideration. What would you have done if it had been your mom out there? Tell me that.
The United States champion is expected to keep himself in good conduct at all times. Let that be noted. Well, reprimand this.
Well, there, David. Magnum TA has a strong belief in his family, his mother, the country, and everything. Really struck the blow against President Bob Geigel. As a result of that, Bob Geigel made this all-important announcement.
As president of the National Wrestling Alliance, it is my duty to make the following announcement. Magnum TA received an official reprimand from the National Wrestling Alliance for his conduct at a press conference. At the time of his notification of that decision, his actions taken against an official representative of the National Wrestling Alliance leave the board of directors no other option but to strip Magnum TA of the United States Heavyweight Championship title for conduct unbecoming a champion, effective immediately.
Okay, there it happened.
It's not right, but it did happen. The United States Heavyweight title is stripped from Magnum TA.
It really is. It's been stripped from Magnum TA, but as a result of that, we have a very special announcement about that.
That's right. Coming up next.
Okay. Doc, Harper's over there. I'm going to try to edit it out, but he's over there getting a blowjob or something during the promo. Doc, what did you think about that?
Good God. Was Geigel, were Geigel and Magnum in a, they look like they were in the champagne room of some somewhere with that blue pencil background. I was like, I don't know why, but this don't seem legit.
They look like they were in Shishi's, Harper, in the back room. Oh boy, Harper, do you want me to call your phone because your connection is terrible, Harper?
Yeah, bro.
Okay, we can't hear you. I'm going to call your phone, Harper.
So,
right?
While you're calling the phone, let me give these people, the Docaholics, something I was thinking about during this.
Yeah, you do that.
So, Magnum gets busted for saying some things and throwing some blows. and he's supposed to uphold the values of the title. Yet Ric Flair can run around with a gang just beating the shit out of people, whether it's Garvin or Morton or Dusty, and nothing ever happens. So I get that it's a prop to set up something for the Bash and attraction that they can take to different cities. But if you
we can hear you much better. Go ahead, Doc.
If you pull on that thread of logic at all, it's like, man, if I'm Magnum, I'm pulling in Ezekiel Elliott and taking this shit to the courts. I'm locking this motherfucker down because Ric Flair's running around doing all kinds of heinous shit. The Midnight Express are dirty, rotten bastards. What are we doing here?
Harper, what did you? We couldn't hear you good because of this bad Skype connection.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, have y'all seen what the fuck this shit Flair's been doing? What the fuck?
Bro, Flair broke Dusty's leg, or the horse broke his leg. They attack him any chance they get. Fucking Arn just went out there the promo before and basically threatened assault on the man. And we go strip Magnum.
And he was talking shit about his mama.
Oh, all right.
Ain't that about a bitch,
Harper? Anything else?
No, it's like what the fuck, man? He's the only asshole.
Well, you know, the babyface get held to a higher standard, I guess. Uh-huh. You know the drill. Doc, anything else before I play Nikita and Ivan here?
No, that shit was funny, though.
All right, so here's Nikita and Ivan now, talking about what they just heard and whatnot. And there's a bit of an announcement that happens, too.
So, obviously, now a lot of turmoil surrounds the U.S. heavyweight title. Here's Nikita.
Long Ivan, again and again, the wee dog. And try and figure out how MAGA-TA going to get out of this title match on TV. So Nikita, no embarrass him in front of all the world when I defeat him on TV. Well, this is smart, MAGA-TA. This is smart. You come out and again attack someone.
That's right. Nephew Nikita is the United States Heavyweight Champion, MAGA-TA.
Excuse me, Mr. Koloff. I hate to interrupt. But Nikita Koloff is not the U.S. Heavyweight Champion. All of us on the board of directors did not agree with the majority, but they did take the title away from Magnum T.A. for his actions. They have ordered a best of seven championship series between the number one challenger, who is Nikita Koloff, and the former champion Magnum T.A. And if Nikita can defeat Magnum four times, then he will be the U.S. Heavyweight Champion. And it will start July the 1st in Philadelphia.
It is obviously a conspiracy. This Magnum T.A. has not only got Jim Crockett Promotions behind him, but the NWA. Well, we don't accept this. Nephew Nikita is the United States Heavyweight Champion, and being he is such a gracious champion, he will give Magnum T.A. a couple of title shots during the Great American Bash. And you, Dusty Rhodes, the Great American Dream, along with your Road Warriors, during the Great American Bash, we're going to win back our World Six-Man Tag Team Trophy because Crusher Khrushchev is ready. Cage matches, double chain matches, six-man tag team competition. And you, Ric Flair, nephew Nikita, is going to take world title away from you.
Well, fans, you heard it from Mr. Jim Crockett Jr., president of...
Well, shit, Ivan's promising every damn title. He's going after the world.
Chain matches, cage matches, winning this belt, that belt. We're already the champ. I think Uncle Ivan might have been hitting the potato vodka a little early, you know? Shit.
Harper, what did you think about it?
Right, I noticed he was wearing a suit.
Yeah, he was looking good. He was looking very dapper in his suit.
Yeah, he was looking like a manager.
He sure was. You know, this worked well for the Bash, best of seven, if you ask me, like the way they said. I mean, look, you put the title up, you know, you're going to be doing a bunch of matches. So, hey, let's do a best of seven. I hate best of sevens now, but back then it worked for me. Doc, anything else from it?
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay.
I would
love to see a best of seven that didn't go to seven.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's what makes it too predictable. When it's the best of seven, yeah. Now it always goes to seven, and I want to see mm-hmm. where it ends. Fuck, man, do a sweep. I mean, do six. Don't do five. But come on, man, it's inevitable that it always goes to seven. It's like best two out of three falls. You know, it's always going to go to the third one. It never ends after two. So okay, all right. After Nikita and Ivan, which I thought was good, you got Tully and Arn versus Randy Mulkey and George South. Arn hits Mulkey with the gourd buster and wins. No Mulkey splatter in this one, unfortunately. Doc, anything from that, or can I keep going?
Man, I think everybody got the message a couple of weeks ago that said these matches are going on too long.
Very quick. Nothing. Harper, I know you had nothing because you told me earlier.
Nothing.
All right, so then we get a Great American Bash update and a Waylon Jennings interview, and good God almighty, it was like Tim Horner was talking and I just popped about a bottle of Ambien. Doc, any thoughts from this?
Look, I like Waylon Jennings.
This is not on Waylon Jennings. This is just...
Waylon Jennings had a big musical, rich musical history that I know you don't know anything about.
Okay, here
but
we go.
But my exact note was, I like Waylon, but Jesus Christ, this is not what the NWA needed to be doing.
Yeah, that shit was boring, man. I couldn't watch it.
Dude, I made it halfway through, and I was like,
I didn't even make it that far.
I was afraid of that, which is why I gutted it out the whole way through in case we talked about it. But it was like, man, okay, so that... It felt like to me that was the first time when it was like, we got to do what the WWF does, and nobody does what they do as well as they do it. You look like a Southern hillbilly imitation of it. Just do you. It's clear that shit works. You're pulling 4,000 people in shithead South Carolina. Something's working.
Yeah, the whole country, man. Because here's the thing about the NWA.
Here's the other thing. All of us 43-year-old guys like Harper and I that actually like music. Okay, we like Waylon and Willie and Johnny Cash now. We didn't like that shit when we were 12 years old. I like fucking Van Halen and Motley Crue and all that shit. So you ain't getting nowhere with Waylon with me 35 years ago. You can get the fuck out.
Well, I'm sure there was a segment of the population from the NWA that did like that, but... Man, if
not
you look
on national TV.
Well, what I was about to say was, if you look at it, the audience back then, yeah, there was a lot of Southern white folks, but there was more than just white folks in the crowd back then. And I'm just wondering how, you know, you always hear Dusty, and he's about to do it in a second, I think, talking to the. Not just the white population, but the African-American population and all the other fans. It's like, you know, I'm not saying they should have booked... Who was a fucking popular rap group back then? UTFO or somebody, but...
New Edition?
LL Cool J?
Nah, bro, that shit would not have worked. Not New Edition. But my point is... You got more, I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me and where I grew up. And I'm like, Waylon Jennings. Man, no disrespect to Waylon, but this is a wrestling, you know, product. This is not a music product. And, Doc, you nailed it. You nailed it with what you said. WWE, or F at the time, had done that whole Cyndi Lauper thing. And, you know, they were getting the music acts involved. And that's true. I never thought about it like that. That's correct. I don't know if that's what they were trying to do with that and mimic it, but yeah, I agree, man. It's just stick to what you do best, man. Stick to what you do best, wrestling.
This was real unfortunate on a lot of levels.
Yeah, I agree. Stick with what you do best.
What did he do? Nothing. He just sang, right? At the shows?
Yeah, I don't know which one, but he did.
And then David Allan Coe got out there and ran out his song catalog, which was sketchy, depending on which part of his career he went to, was sketchy at best.
Jesus Christ. All right, let's keep going. We got Baby Doll coming up. Baby Doll, if you're listening, we want you on the show.
We're back with Baby Doll, and obviously all four horsemen are back together, Baby Doll.
Well, you know, Tony, this deal between Ole Anderson and Dusty Rhodes, this isn't a new thing. You know, this has been years and years that no one knows about. So Ole Anderson, my man Dusty Rhodes is about to say a few words. And if you're very smart, like you say you are, you'll listen to it because Dusty means what he says.
Let's go to that tape of Dusty Rhodes.
You know, for 7, 8, 9 years, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, and Ole Anderson done battle throughout this country. It's always been a way with Ole Anderson and Dusty Rhodes to cripple Maine or hurt somebody. The American Dream seems to be something that he don't want to believe in. He's stuck in this redneck attitude about the way the country should be, about what should happen. You know, whether you're black, white, green, yellow, it has never mattered to the American Dream. And he has always went on television and said, I believe one way, he believed the other. He's a bigamist. He's bigger than life. He's a redneck. He has nothing more than Ole Anderson. He laid up in Wisconsin with a broken leg, feeling sorry for himself. Now, once again, he comes, tries to tear my ear off and get into my personal, you understand? Now, when you play the dozens with Dusty Rhodes through the years, you know that something got to happen. He say, Dusty Rhodes, this is me and you. This is the end. All you skeptics in television land, all you people that are interested in watching the comedies on Saturday morning and think it's wrestling, got to get on this right here. This is the real deal. This is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. This is my livelihood. This is the way I make my living, day in, day out. And for every skeptic, forever lawyer that think he's a halfway fan, there are 20 million people daily that love professional wrestling, that love Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, and believe the way I do. You think Ole Anderson, 1 minute, I'm going to go and tell this guy over here, this little bitty kid, no matter what color he is, that there's not a real American Dream out there, that you can't reach out in life and be the best you can and go through this life like Dusty Rhodes live in on the end of a lightning bolt? Nurturing wounds and offering up my innocence. And every time I do what you do, you pay me back in scorn. Well, the fans say, come in, Dream. I'll give you shelter from the storm. That's what it's all about, Ole. If it's me and
preach
you,
it, Dusty.
If this is the end, it's all over. If it's no mas, no more, then let's go for it. Let's go for it. Leave no stone unturned. Leave no rock not thrown and no glass broken. If this the end, I'm glad it's me and you. Ain't that the way it should be, Hoss? You got it, Jack.
Okay, Doc, you go first.
I ain't lying right now. If Dusty would have passed me a collection plate after that shit, I'd have been in my motherfucking pockets, dude. I'd have been like, "Yeah, hold on, I'm in arrears here. Let me get my money right, dude." he finished that. That was a colossally strong finish. He called him a bigamist, which I don't quite get. He pretty much called him a cracker-ass racist.
He sure fuck did.
It sounded like it could have been cut in 2017. I can't put this promo over enough. This shit was awesome. Again, another one I say that I enjoy more than Hard Times.
This was good.
This was good.
This was, you know, like Rick was like angry and psycho last week. This was like Dusty's version of the same thing. If y'all remember, Rick kind of was crazy, but that's how I took it. And he's just gathering his people, talking about the little kid should be able to live his dream. It just is like you said, Doc, if he started passing around a collection plate, I'd be like, hold on, brother, I got you. Let me get a five or two out of my wallet. Harper, what did you think?
Man, that sounded fucking great. And I like at the end where it's like, it's just going to be you and me, Hoss.
Mm-hmm.
like it reminded me, you ever seen The Shooters? The old John Wayne movie. That's what that reminded me of. Like at the end, it's just gonna be you and me.
Should I offer my theory, Mike, on John Wayne?
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Well, no, because it'll spin us off into a 20-minute discussion.
Oh.
We'll be. It's about baby boomers and the whole John Wayne. Oh, jeez. You wouldn't be able to discuss it in like a 60-second format. There's no way, because it's too good. It's a patron episode, dude.
Oh, well, then maybe you should take this opportunity to tell the people how to become a patron.
Well, yeah, just go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Get access to all the world-class episodes, all the other episodes that we're putting up. Please do it. It'll help out the show. tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Thanks, Doc. I appreciate that. But, no, in reality, that would be a great patron episode because we could have some fun with that shit. John Wayne philosophy. All right. Anything else from that, Harper?
I mean, that's what he sounded like.
Yeah,
it was going to be a shootout, and they're going to be the last two. Standing.
Yep. Doc, you anything else?
Top shelf.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. There's a couple of Rolex candidates that we got going on in this show. So after that is Nikita Koloff versus Todd Champion. Champion was either on last week's Worldwide episode or 2 weeks ago, because I've been watching the Worldwides as we do this with it. But Nikita wins with the Russian Sickle. Doc,
but
anything for the match?
Well, Champion fought back, and was this the first time we'd seen him on Saturday night?
Yeah, it's his. I think it's his Saturday night debut, but I know he's been on Worldwide once or twice. He's even cut a promo on there, actually, at this point, too.
He fired up, though, on Nikita.
Yeah, he wasn't, I mean, it wasn't a long, long match, but, I mean, he didn't go out there and just get, completely destroyed either, so... All right, so after that is Tully and JJ come out, and let's listen to them.
Tully Blanchard Enterprises, the champion Tully Blanchard and James J. Dillon.
You know, this thing with Ronnie Garvin is all coming into place in the proper perspective. You know, I don't know if anybody sitting out there ever has been knocked out, but I have in my career. I've been knocked out a few times, and it's a pretty sickening feeling because the blood pressure drops so low. When you pass out, you don't dream, you don't do anything, and when you come back around, it's a harrowing feeling. And for 6 months, I've watched Ronnie Garvin knock people out here on national television, and knowing that the same individual was challenging the national champion put a little bit of fear into me. But now you see the entire situation has reversed, because the 23rd of May in Norfolk, Virginia, Ronnie Garvin was knocked out for the first time in his career.
Carried out, too.
And he was carried out where he was looking up at the lights of the ceiling trying to wonder where he was. So now, Ronnie Garvin, you load up your tape. You issue your challenges. You come to the Great American Bash, and you challenge the national champion. But in the back of your mind, Mr. Garvin, think back of that sickening feeling. Norfolk, Virginia, when you were knocked colder than a witch. And think of that harrowing feeling when the blood pressure started to rise and you were going out on that stretcher and realize where you were and realize what happened and come to the realization that this man did it and he can do it again and he is going to do it.
You know, Tony, JJ, all you people out there, I come out here every week with a National Heavyweight Championship belt and everybody thinks or seems to think that it was handed to me on a silver platter. Now you think back on national television, the start of the demise of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. When I pinned him 1, 2, 3, right in the middle of the ring, and won the National Heavyweight Championship. And now Dusty Rhodes don't ever want to get back in the ring, especially now that the Fourth Horseman is back. Dusty Rhodes, you better run in groups, great big groups, Dusty Rhodes. To protect yourself. You get Garvin, you get Magnum, you get all those risky business boys, and you keep them all right around you real close. Because Dusty Rhodes, just like Ole said, the Four Horsemen are back, and you're going down. Now, Garvin, you know, one other thing, just a minute. One other thing, you know, Garvin don't like to talk about this. Garvin doesn't like to talk about Norfolk, Virginia on May the 23rd. You know, maybe, JJ, if he doesn't talk about it, it never happened.
But he said, I quit.
That's it. Fans, we're coming right back.
I'm going to tell you who's talking him into the building with the feud between Tully and Ronnie Garvin. And it's fucking Tully. Amen. Go ahead, Doc. You were talking. I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, JJ's in on that too, and man, I started thinking about this during that promo, and it wasn't that promo specific, but I was like, bro, they got three of the belts without Ole. Now they got Ole. Who's gonna stop them?
There's like a train rolling down the freaking road, man. I mean,
this is no different when the NWO dump trucked everybody at the beginning, and it's like, how can they be stopped?
Yeah,
Lex Luger is gonna show up.
Oh boy.
And he's gonna what's he gonna destroy do? What's he everyone.
Gonna do? What's he gonna do? Fall off the top rope?
Oh,
that's nice.
Classy. Harper, what'd you think about the promo?
Shit was fucking great. And I love how they kept bringing up, don't forget Norfolk, motherfucker. Don't forget that shit.
Yeah.
And they talked about when he's like, oh, you quit. And they probably just stopped chanting, you quit the fucking Tully from fucking Starrcade.
I know. It's June now.
Right.
It's June. They were saying it since Thanksgiving night of 85.
You're right.
Like, damn. I just, like, the main thing I took was, damn, Tully and JJ are talking these people into the building. Because Ronnie, it wasn't horrible at the beginning. We didn't play it, but Tully and JJ are the ones making this thing work, man. They're getting there. They're the ones like, you know what? You're some pricks, man. We hope Ronnie Garvin knocks you out. So, yeah. All right. Anything else, Doc, before I move on? All right. Let's go to Magnum now. Magnum's coming back out.
You've all seen and heard what has transpired. He still has the belt with him. Here he is, Magnum T.A.
Well, I say to you, the audacity of Bob Daigle and the whole NWA. No, it was back Thanksgiving of last year when I alone walked inside a steel cage with Tully Blanchard. I quit match. They said it was the most brutal match in the history of professional wrestling. Yet when the match was over and the smoke cleared, when the battle was over, I walked out with death firmly in my grasp. And since that time, day in and day out, I've met every challenge that anybody has ever wanted to present to me. The list goes long and tough, the big and bad of them all. And then out of the darkness came the Russian nightmare. The man they all called the bad nightmare from the big bad Russia. They said he could do what no other man could do. He could embarrass the whole United States. Well, he couldn't get it done in the wrestling ring. He couldn't get it done with all the special stipulations, Russian chain matches. He had to stoop to the lowest form of any human being on this earth. He stooped down so low as to insult all the women in the world, and more specifically, my mother. Well, America was built on freedom. Men that would fight for that freedom, and did it real proudly. But none of those men would have been able to do any of that without a very special lady in all their lives, the person that gave them all life. Their mother who gave them the desire to fight, instilled that down inside them. Well, I tell you something, Nikita Koloff, this is straight out there to Bob Daigle too. This belt is nothing but a bunch of metal and leather without the meaning behind it. You can take this out of my hands, but you can't take what's in my heart. You can't take the love for my family and my mother that I die fighting for, no matter what it takes. A best out of seven tournament, it doesn't matter what they want to dictate to me. Because I dictate my life. I dictate my actions. And whatever kind of fight it's got to be, that's just fine. Because I'll bow to no man, especially a no good commie Russian.
Let's go to the ring.
All right, Doc, you first this time.
Trigger words, commie was key back then.
Oh, of course.
It's like mothers and his code words to his people in Smoky Mountain. I don't remember. I'll be real honest. I don't remember the seven matches with Nikita, although I think I know what happened. So I'm kind of looking forward to this. And all of this shit starting to heat up and point us to the bash, and I'm ready to bash it up.
I agree. Harper, your thoughts on the promo?
I want to see one of those a tag team match with the Russians versus Magnum and his mama, like they did with Buff Bagwell.
No.
Judy Bagwell.
Yeah.
Judy Bagwell on a pole match.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Madam T.A.'s mama on a pole.
No, I want to pass on that. No.
Mrs. T.A.
Hey, I tell you what. You know what Magnum said now? That was real good. Magnum was hot, and he deserved to be. The best part about that, none of that shit was scripted. That was the other part. But the point I want to make was,
I love when he said, you could take this belt from me. It's not going to take away the fire that I have to bust Nikita's ass. I mean, he didn't say those words, but that's basically what he said. You could take the belt, but it's not going to take away the fact that I'm still running and gunning for that sucker. I thought that's what I liked about that. That was my thing. So, Doc, anything else?
Mm-mm.
Harper, you?
No.
All right, next match after that is Shaska and Barbarian versus Jim Dawson, Italian Stallion. Paul Jones is yelling like a madman about the picture they showed earlier that was of Jones's bald head. Shaska hits a suplex from the second row, pins Jim Dawson. Manny Fernandez and Ronnie Garvin hit the ring, though, and attack Shaska, and they cut some of Shaska's hair. Just got a gob of it, not all of it. Doc, you had anything from that?
These matches are all garbage.
They are. So I'll keep
this
moving.
This is dog shit.
Yeah, we're not watching this for the matches. We said that, 7 months ago when we started doing these. Then we have a promo. It's Wahoo McDaniel. I'm not playing it, but Shivani opens up the interview and says Wahoo has an Indian strap for his Indian strap match. I'm not playing this, but chalk this up to just some things that you're not going to hear nowadays with the way they said Indian strap a million times. I mean, they're just going to call it a strap match nowadays. And what was that you said on the Smoky Mountain show? You can't even say Indian style anymore at the kids' school, Doc?
Crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, that's the new one. I don't think that one's aired yet because we just recorded it recently. But
crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, I was like, I thought Doc was just joking when he said that. So I point that out because you're not going to hear anyone call it an Indian strap match nowadays. It's just not going to happen.
What
All
makes
right.
it an Indian strap match?
There's an Indian in the match.
There's a Native
That's
American.
It?
Wahoo, yeah. And it's his strap, so it's an Indian strap match. I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Well, not that I guess, but that's what it is. So after that, let me keep going. It's Wahoo versus Lee Peek. Wahoo finishes him off with a big chop and then a brutal backbreaker. Doc, anything from the match?
Stiff.
Damn right. All right. I know Harper doesn't have anything, so I'm going to play now
nope.
the next thing, which is Cornette back out there. So here it is.
Okay, Jim Cornette and Big Bubba Rogers.
You know something? First of all, I saw a baby doll out here a little earlier in her Calamity Jane outfit. Okay, she looks the part of a real Texas cowgirl. You know the kind, more cow than girl. And I also understand that the James girls are going to be somewhere around here today. Well, hey, Dusty and Magnum, let me tell you something. You just come on out here, try to jump me from behind because you see who's standing behind me. Big Bubba Rogers, big as a house with a 3-car garage, and that's what it would feel like fell on you if you tried to lay one finger on me or do me any harm in any way, because he's taking real good care of me, Tony. You wouldn't believe how big his man is. You wouldn't believe the things he is great. And ladies and gentlemen, I will introduce someone else who's great. The highlight of your day, the greatest team in professional wrestling, Loverboy Dennison, beautiful Bob.
That music makes me so mad.
Dude, God, right when it starts off. Fuck.
It sounds like an 80s porn, like music, like from a porn scene or some shit. Okay, Doc, Corny's on it again.
More cow than girl taught me there.
Fuck.
She's rendering services, and now she's more cow than girl.
Oh, baby doll, if you listen, we love you. Yeah. Baby doll, if you're listening, we love you. We're just critiquing Cornette here. Harper, you had anything besides more cow than girl there from Cornette?
No. That shit was great, though.
Well, it leads into a match, obviously, and it's the Midnight Express versus Robert Burrows and Vernon Deaton. And Cornette is on commentary out there, and then he throws out the line, and I don't have a timestamp for it, but he says, Baby doll needs to go find some bum making $4 an hour and be a housewife and get in the kitchen. He just was relentless. I mean, he didn't stop with the promos. He's on the interview doing the same thing. Not even midway through the match, Bobby Eaton hits a big elbow off the top rope, and they just keep going another 3 to 4 minutes. Midnights eventually win. Doc, do you have anything from this match? These two guys look like bums out there.
Yeah, not really.
I actually think that I'm looking at it as we're talking about it. I think that's the guy who jobbed Dusty before the Flair match.
Oh, really?
I think so. Not the guy with the light blue tights, is the navy blue. Not Burroughs, Deaton. So anyway, all right. After that, I'm not playing this, but there's a promo with the Rock and Roll, not with the Rock and Roll, well, kind of with the Rock and Roll Express. It's about the Rock and
Roll
Express.
Yeah.
Super Summer Sizzling Tour.
Man, you can like hang out with them or fuck them or like be a young boy or drive them around or.
Bruh, they took what Watts did Mid South to a new level with this shit, and I didn't remember it the way they did it. But so there's three different contests. There's one where it's a lookalike contest, and that's just for little kids. You know, people they're not gonna, you know.
Yeah, like a cosplay.
Right. And then there's a second one where it's Miss Rock and Roll Express for girls between 14 and 17. Now, six winners will win, and they'll escort them to the ring. Jesus Christ.
What's up, girl?
That's 14 to 17-year-olds, Harper.
That seems that seems more like risky business than anything else. maybe that's why I totally called them the risky business boys.
And then the third contest is the Dream Day contest. Now, you all remember this from Mid-South. They did it 2 years earlier in Mid-South. They basically get to handpick a few more broads that they're going to bang that night. The only thing Jim Crockett Promotions didn't do that Watts did in Mid-South was Watts said there would be an independent panel of experts. Crockett Promotions didn't mislead anyone. They just said there will be two winners. But they didn't say Ricky and Robert would pick them out. So I guess they learned, or not that they learned, but I found that to be definitely interesting that they changed that up a little.
I would love to know how this happened, go.
They send in a postcard and they write their essay, and Ricky and Robert looked and like, huh, she looks hot. I don't want to fuck her. And she won. And
like
they banged
the date, like, you know, where'd they go? What'd they do?
Well, I can tell you at the one at the Superdome that they won the date with, they showed them out at a club, they showed them out to dinner, and then, you know, that was it. We know what happened after.
Yeah.
Come on, I mean. I'll ask you, Doc, you're a math guy. Double drop kick, all right. Doc, you're a math guy.
Get a vagina.
Doc, you're a math guy. What's the odds that Ricky and Robert didn't bang whoever won that?
Odds that they did or didn't?
Didn't.
Zero.
Okay, there you go. I was going to go negative, but okay. That's not possible, but that's what I was going to go.
It's not needed. Right.
Must have been nice.
Harper, that, keep going.
What, to have your boss acting as your pimp?
I mean, just and they just like bring them all in like they're fucking cattle.
Pretty much.
Okay, these two, let's go.
You know how it goes. All right, so after that, there's a match. It's Ron Garvin versus Bill Tabb. Garvin ties Mr. Tabb up, beats him like he does everybody on Saturday night. He's got him in a hold that I haven't seen in years, right before he drop kicks him, chops him three times, and then knocks him out, and then gives him some chin nuts. Doc, thoughts from that?
My only note was that Bill Tabb found out that in NWA 1986, Black Lives don't matter.
Oh, Doc. Harper, anything from you?
I was thinking, when he wrestles Tully, is he going to put his nuts in his fucking face?
I guess. Well,
because all the matches we've seen from him is these fucking jobbers that he pins like this.
Yeah.
Rick. He didn't do it to Rick.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't do it to Rick. Something to next week. I've already watched it just to kind of get my head wrapped around what happens after each week. And so he wrestles Paul Garner next week and he does neck nuts. And that's all I'm going to say. You're going to have to watch
neck nuts.
He gives him some neck nuts. just you'll see it. You'll be like, oh, look at this shit. Okay. So after that, Doc, anything else I should ask?
Mm-mm.
Manny Fernandez comes out. He cuts a promo about cutting Shaska's hair earlier. Boogie comes out after bonging some crystal meth and a line of cocaine. And, you know, it is what it is. Normal Manny and Boogie promo. Doc, anything from that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, me either.
No.
Harper. Okay. Well, let's listen to the James boys. That's a quick one. Here it is. This is the James boys, you know, with the mask. Basically, Dusty and Magnum.
Okay, back with you on World Championship Wrestling. Like we said, we have had excitement plenty today. And it continues as we're joined here by the James boys, Frank and Jesse James, along with Baby Doll.
You know, there's so much going on out here today, it's unbelievable. There's some people sitting out here with great little jewels coming out of their mouths. They're so intelligent, unreal. Me and Jess been riding the range, acting strange, looking for the Midnight Express. Somewhere the Midnight Express is going to find out that Frank and Jesse Jane, along with Baby Doll, going to take care of it. You know what? Jim Cornette, Big Bubba, look like something left over from the movie The Godfather. You understand? He's trying to scare us. That ain't going to happen. Jim Cornette, I want your mama to know something. I want you to tell her that me and Jess are planning a big Christmas surprise. When she get up in the morning this year on Christmas, the James boys going to come down the chimney and scare out of her socks right there. And the Midnight Express, we're going to beat you as long and hard as we have to until you understand you should have signed that contract with Magnum TA and Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream.
Jess?
You know, it seems that the man has found a new lease on life since Big Bubba's come into his life again. And I want to remind him of one thing. You can only stay so close to that man for a very short period of time. And I'm sure maybe you'd like to stay with him close for a long, long time.
The James boys and Baby Doll. Words of warning to the Midnight Express. Let's go to the ring.
Doc, what'd you think?
I'm going to be honest. This James gang stuff is a little goofy. Not my favorite.
Harper, you?
I couldn't stop staring at that fucking snakehead on Baby Doll's hat. What the fuck?
That looked like, now, that's a, Ron, that looked like a Ron Fuller hat.
Yeah.
It did.
No doubt.
That's what it looked like.
The stud has arrived. It looked like a from a truck stop or something.
Well, when she first came out earlier, I was like, that looks like a hat Ron Fuller has. yeah, this one, I played it because it was short. It was kind of weird. Like, they didn't really say anything worthwhile.
No. And it almost sounded like Magnum was like trying to sound like Dusty, kind of.
Yeah.
Disguise his voice.
Yeah, I'm like Doc. I actually liked what they were doing with this, especially last week when Cornette lost his mind behind the fake James boys and the real James boys and no the fake James boys and they unmasked the wrong James boys. So I mean I like that part of it, but this promo was not that great. So we'll move forward because we're almost at the end. We got Jimmy Garvin and Steve Regal versus Rocky King and Paul Garner. Once again, King and Garner are just happy they don't have to watch or let the Road Warriors beat their ass or even Ronnie Garvin. Garvin and Regal get the win. Doc, anything?
Not a damn thing.
All right, Harper, I know you don't have anything either, so I'm just gonna go and hit play on the next promo, and here it is.
Steve Regal, Gorgeous Jimmy, and Precious with us here at ringside.
Man, I gotta tell you, Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin has seen a lot of things, but today is the day of days. The greatest wrestler in the world, and we're so proud to be here, the National Wrestling Alliance. Now everybody's saying, Gorgeous Jimmy, you're so cruel for what you did to the Chief. You said you were going to drop him on his head, and you did. You said you were going to strap him, and you did. Now I'm not that bad of a guy. I spent a lot of money. I took an ad out in the greatest paper in the country today, and I'm going to read it to you. Desperate. We'll take any work. One slightly used Indian. Indian brave, that is. He was a chief at one time. Recently was involved in an accident with Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, but is still in fair condition despite a little brain damage from being dropped on his head and a few scars on his back from being whipped. The qualifications? Qualifications is Papoose sitting. He's very good. TP repairs. Not TV, TP. Tour guide, daytime only because he's afraid of the dark. And a part-time medicine man. The Great American Bash. I can't find anybody to wrestle me, but we bought our front row tickets, and we're going to be at every one of them. Now, Magnum crying about your mama, you just about make me sick. Oh, yeah, if she only knew you used to be a dancer in San Francisco, she probably would throw you out of the house.
Damn.
Now, and I think it's ridiculous that the Russians, the great Russian team, has to beat them four times. Have you ever heard of such a sickening thing?
Ridiculous.
Now, I'm going to be talking to Ted, baby, and I'm going to see about banning that wildebeest from this family station. This is a super station for super families. Boogie Woogie, man, he thinks he's some kind of barber. Wahoo! Don't you dare threaten my squeezer me again. And you ain't dragging me or tying me to nothing.
We'll see you next week on World Championship Wrestling.
I had to play it. I thought Garvin was funny right there. He popped me a few times. Doc, what'd you think?
Every time I'm like, eh, then he all of a sudden drops a line like the damn dancer in San Francisco. And I think it's funny. And you can't do it today. And then he just ran down why everybody on the one side stinks. All right.
That line about Magnum being a dancer in San Francisco, I was like, oh, damn. And I mean, I guess there may be young listeners out there who don't get it. Basically, he was calling Magnum gay because there was like this thing in the 80s where, I don't know, Doc, I seem to remember where it was like, oh, this is where all the gay people live in San Francisco. Do you remember that?
I think it's still like that.
Well, it was like really, that was like the common rumor. But
that was like the common rumor.
It's like gay people are in San Francisco. I mean, they're nowhere else back then, at least. That's the way
that was. That was their Harlem.
Right.
What?
Right. Right. Just go with it, Doc. Yeah. So that was the line that popped me. I was like, holy shit. Damn. But anyway, you know, whatever. He's out there cutting a promo, and I got to give Jimmy some credit here. He's been doing a little bit different lately. He's rolling, man. He's not world class Garvin right now, but he's making us laugh. So, okay, Doc. Anything else from that?
Mm-mm.
All right. Let's. I tell you what. I've been doing my Rolex first. Doc, you do your Rolex first this week. Who are you giving a Rolex to?
I struggled on this one more than usual. At different points, I'd given it to three different guys, none of which were Ric Flair. And this may surprise you a little bit, but I ended up with Dusty Rhodes getting the Rolex.
Yeah, I can see Dusty getting it for that promo that he cut because it was really good.
Yep.
Harper, who are you giving yours to?
I'll give mine to fucking Ole because he's the one that started all this shit.
What's causing all this?
Yeah,
I got to give mine to Ole too. His comeback promo. I mean, Arn was in the running too with that line. Maybe we'll get you getting out of your car. I mean, it just was so prophetic. I almost went that way, but I agree. I think Ole gets it. Ole was laying it in on his, and the Horsemen are back together, and it was just some good stuff. Okay, let's rate it. So long episode. I say long, but this is the normal time. But just based on there were so many promos that were worthy, I mean, I gave it an A. You know, I had Cornette in there. I had Jimmy Garvin even at the end. Magnum, you know, fired up. Tully and JJ. Ivan, Nikita, their promo was good. I thought it was really – I mean, then you got Ole and Arn, and then, hell, Dusty's promo. And then Rick, just really, really good stuff. So I gave it an A. Doc, what'd you give it?
There's not one match worth half a shit on this entire –
Yeah,
well, yeah.
5 minutes.
Well, when you consider shit, what about Dusty and Rick?
Well, that's different, but it was a clip, right? I'm talking about in the studio.
Yeah, you're right.
There's not 1 second of wrestling I gave a shit about, and this show still gets an A. So that should tell you how awesome everything else was.
You said it a while back, though. Maybe we're not wrestling fans. Maybe we're just like a bunch of shit talking.
It's possible.
We watch this for the shit talking, not necessarily wrestling. I
mean, well, the matches, they're all the same.
Yeah, unless it's like the ones from Worldwide, like they showed this week with Rick and Dusty, or, you know, they showed that one a couple months ago with Dusty and Tully when Tully won the national title. That might have been one of the best ones that they've aired. But again, it wasn't filmed in the studio. I mean, the studio shows are – studio matches are just jobber matches. I mean, they're enhancement talent. That's what they were there for, to get guys over. So what kind of rating did you give it, Hopper?
a fucking A, man.
Yeah, hard not to. I thought at least.
You have to.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that was January, June the 7th, 1986 of NWA WCW. Saturday night on TBS, man. Overall, lots of good promos. Wrestling, not so much, but lots of good promos. Hey, if you're listening, please check out our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTCAmazon. Please use that. It's a great way to support the show. Give it to your wives and girlfriends. We'd appreciate it. Like I said, it doesn't cost you anything extra. It's just a good way to support the show without spending any extra money. Now, before we get out of here, I do have one promo of the week. Y'all haven't heard this. This is from Worldwide with Cornette ripping another one. But also, I will after this, and Doc and Harper won't stick around for this, but I'm going to play the promos from Worldwide from this week. So NWA Worldwide, all the promos that were on that episode, I'm going to stack at the end of this one like I've been doing. So let's listen to Cornette here. This is from Worldwide from June the 7th of 86. But I wanted to Doc and Harper and I to react. So here it is.
Bubba Rogers, and let me tell you something. The James boys are trying to drive me into a state of blithering insanity, David Crockett. And you know it. They're still running around here trying to run roughshod over everybody. Well, let me tell you, James boys. First of all, the Midnight Express is still steaming down on your tracks. They're going to take those masks because my mother has raised the bounty to $100,000. All the Midnight Express has to do is get those masks off to collect it. And then Dusty Rhodes and Magnum T.A. are going to be suspended and fined and maybe shot on sight and gotten out of professional wrestling and out of my hair once and for all, where they never should have been in the first place. Bubba Rogers, my bodyguard, here to make sure that while Dennis and Bobby are defending the World Tag Team Championship, nothing happens to me. Nobody can place a finger on me as long as Bubba's around. And you remember that too, James boys. Regardless of all the hoopla and all the publicity about you, the Midnight Express is still the World Tag Team Champions, and that makes us the best team in the sport. And baby doll, one more thing, darling. You had the nerve, you had the audacity to challenge me to a match. Well, let me tell you, you put those tights on and you try to embarrass me during one of those big Great American Bashes, because there's no woman on earth that can beat a man in a wrestling match. I'm going to say, I know she's the pits at being a valet. I'm going to see how she is at being a housekeeper, a maid, a scrub woman, somebody cleaning out lavatories, because that's what she's going to be doing when I get finished with her in those bashes. Come on, Bubba.
Let's go to the ring.
So now she's going to be cleaning lavatory. And Cornette just still laying it on in the poor baby doll, man. Damn. He just
code word just, the pits. He meant the shits. We know it.
Yeah. Of course. So that one obviously wasn't as brutal as last week when freaking Lawler used the F word on Boogie. Mm-hmm. But Doc, your thoughts on it?
Just, I mean, Corny's got a situation that he can sink his teeth into because it's got a multifaceted angle with he's got problems over here with this chick. He's got a bodyguard. He's got the champs to manage. He's got all kinds of tentacles to this thing, and it's when he excels is when he can just let it fly.
Pretty much. Harper, you?
For $100,000 bounty, I wouldn't be surprised if someone from the crowd tried to pull the fucking mask off.
That's a great
point. Get the fucking money.
I thought that too. I was like, that's enough money where I might start to feel strong.
Yeah, especially back then.
It could give you some courage you probably wouldn't have. You know, $100,000?
Yeah.
Shit, let me try something here. Mm-hmm. Somebody would do something stupid. Yeah, for real. That's a great point, Harper. Great, great point. So, yeah, man. So that's this week's episode. We don't have a guest this week, as you can see. But like I said, I got the promos at the end from the NWA Worldwide. Harper, you got anything you got to plug, man? Got Wildcat coming up in November. You got the
November November 4th. I believe it is.
Tell me. I'm not booked.
Revolution Rumble.
November 4th. Where's it at?
Fucking Grace King High School.
Where can I get tickets?
You should show up. Go online.
just type www.internet.
Does Harper have to do everything for these people? Shit. They got
bro, yeah. I mean, where are you, dude? It's the same people that, like, when I post a picture of the poster, they say, what time does it start? What building is it in?
I've seen that too.
Jesus Christ.
Harper will post a poster and people will go, and it says on there where it's at and the time. And I've seen people comment and go, what time and what's the date? Like, did you not see?
What's spell time? Fuck you, bro. We fucking retarded.
Oh, Harper. Wow. Harper just, okay. Oh, boy. Doc, you got anything else, man?
Well, I just, you know, if you've ever wondered what kind of horrific things would happen and how this shit would fall apart if Doc wasn't here, as Harper said about Vimeo, here's your chance, because next week is going to be a Doc-free zone as I take a week away from the microphone. So all you Docaholics out there better play this show twice.
Yeah, they'll be cheering in the streets because you won't be here.
I'm going to be off doing some important missionary work.
Missionary work. You're covering an event somewhere?
What?
Are you covering an event somewhere?
Yeah, I'm covering a missionary conference.
Yeah, sounds like a plan, man. All right. Well, we're going to get ready to get out of here. I do want to thank the Hall of Fame patrons. That would be new one, at JShiny21 on Twitter, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider91US, Justin Rasmussen, at ChipDaddy32, at USC49er Dodger, at Gerald Green III, at T-Hog94, at SV Pageant, at MartinHowell71, at Tim O'Ritchie, Coldman822, at GobOldUnreal, and at UnconvincedRay. Thank you for being Hall of Fame patrons. If you want to become a patron, again, it's tinyurl.com/BTCPatron. Great way to support the show and get access to the patron-only content and shows that are out there. Lots of them have gone up in the last month. Plenty. I think we put up more this month than we put up in any previous combined months, I should say. That's how many have been put out there. So please check it out. And don't forget the Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Use it. Give it to your wives and girlfriends. Hook them up. Thanks again to the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. Check them out on Mondays and Thursdays. Just search WPAN wherever you get your podcast from. Crockett and Malonis do a good job on their shows each and every week and some good stuff. And, hey, check the links. I've got the Pro Wrestling Tee store in the link. I've got the Tee Public store. There's a new T-shirt. I want you to go check it out. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. Harper saw it. I sent it to him over the weekend. But there's a new T-shirt up on the Tee Public store, so you might want to check it out. And that's all I'm going to say. We just want to be blessed and be a blessing. Right, Harper?
Yes.
So please check that out, the new tee. And that's all I got, man. Doc, I guess you already said your piece. So, Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here this week.
Book it, bitch.
Let's talk about it in the right, ladies and gentlemen, with me, gorgeous Jimmy Garvin and Precious.
Come over here, Reese, baby, come over here. You were magnificent, you were magnificent.
I'm so proud of you. You told me you were going to do that to that old Indian, and you did it.
I told you, and I told the people at home, I said, if he drives by my house one more time with that beat-up 67 Chevy with the lights off, then I was going to strap him like the dog that he was, and I'd be darned if I didn't do it, right? Let me tell you, don't let this pretty face fool you. Another thing, ladies and gentlemen, and David Crockett, I don't know if you can pick it up or not, but you ought to heard him squeal like a pig. It went something like, wee, wee, wee. It was fantastic. But to let you know that I got a sense of humor and I'm not that bad of a guy, I brought the one ads here and I'm going to see if I can find the Indian a job somewhere, because there definitely ain't no job here, and the greatest wrestlers in the world are ready to tell him so. He got exactly what he deserved. He got a strapping.
I'm so proud.
I said I was going to do it and I did it. You know, it's not my fault, ladies and gentlemen. I'm the greatest wrestler in the world, and it's not my fault I'm the best looking man that ever walked the face of the earth. But I gotta tell you, yes, I gotta tell you, it was my fault when I strapped that Indian and he squealed like a pig. Wasn't that great? Let's go celebrate.
That was great.
Let's go celebrate.
We'll be back with more right after this. The Three Horsemen, Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, and Arn Anderson.
And look at us, all that we can look. You know, David Crockett,
what? You had the nerve to make an idiotic statement a while ago that the greatest wrestling attraction in the world was going to be here tonight, Dusty Rhodes, right out there in the middle of that ring. Well, you know how stupid that sounds. You're looking at the world television champion, the national heavyweight champion, the world champion, and the legendary James J. Dillon, and everybody in the building wants to know what's causing all this. And I'll tell you what it is. What's causing this is ability, wrestling ability. You're looking at the greatest wrestlers alive today. Three. Oh, what do we got here, huh?
Let me tell you something, Stud Hoss. You out here shooting your mouth off day in and day out about what you can do. The greatest sports attraction in the world today is going to wrestle on this TV tonight. If you got anything in that gut of yours besides butterflies, you'll go back, put on your tights, put on your coat, put on your robe, and face me tonight right in that ring right there. Oh, and by the way, Tully, Baby Doll told me...
Hey. You know, David Crockett, it costs a lot of money to put one of us on television. So Dusty Rhodes, you just keep on dreaming. Woo!
Bubba Rogers, and let me tell you something. The James boys are trying to drive me into a state of blithering insanity, David Crockett. And you know it. They're still running around here trying to run roughshod over everybody. Well, let me tell you, James boys, first of all, the Midnight Express is still steaming down on your tracks. They're going to take those masks because my mother has raised the bounty to $100,000. All the Midnight Express has to do is get those masks off to collect it. And then Dusty Rhodes and Magnum T.A. are going to be suspended and fined and maybe shot on sight and gotten out of professional wrestling and out of my hair once and for all, where they never should have been in the first place. Bubba Rogers, my bodyguard, here to make sure that while Dennis and Bobby are defending the World Tag Team Championship, nothing happens to me. Nobody can place a finger on me as long as Bubba's around. And you remember that too, James boys. Regardless of all the hoopla and all the publicity about you, the Midnight Express is still the World Tag Team Champions, and that makes us the best team in the sport. And Baby Doll, one more thing, darling. You had the nerve, you had the audacity to challenge me to a match. Well, let me tell you, you put those tights on and you try to embarrass me during one of those big Great American Bashes, because there's no woman on earth that can beat a man in a wrestling match. I'm going to say, I know she's the pits at being a valet. I'm going to see how she is at being a housekeeper, a maid, a scrub woman, somebody cleaning out lavatories, because that's what she's going to be doing when I get finished with her in those Bashes. Come on, Bubba.
Let's go to the ring.
Your winners, the Russians.
Here he is, Magnum T.A.
You know, it's a sad day in this country when a man, any man, can look up and say, it doesn't matter what happens to your mother. You have responsibilities. You're a champion. You're in the NWA. You can't have feelings like a normal man. Well, I do have normal feelings, and I got a mother I'm real proud of. That's the only thing you got in this world that you can count on. Now, nobody gave me this belt on a silver platter. I went through months and months of aggravation and battles and pain and agony with Tully Blanchard to finally take this away. And I did it the right way. I beat him right there in the ring. And that made me the rightful United States Heavyweight Champion. And for all the people out there, I've met every challenger that's ever presented a title in front of me and said they wanted a piece of this. But they gave me a contract. I said, fine. It doesn't matter who you are, what country you come from, how big, how strong you are. I met them, and I turned them all back. When Nikita Koloff, you pushed me over the line. Yeah, maybe it was a little strategy on your point, but I think it was Ivan Koloff, because you see, Nikita, you're nothing more than a brainless animal that somebody's programmed to come over here and try to make a mockery of me and the whole United States.
Well, I say this to Bob Daigle, I say this to the whole NWA, and especially to Nikita Koloff. The U.S. Heavyweight title belongs to me. If there's anybody out there on God's green earth that thinks they're man enough to take this away from me, then let them go ahead and try it. Nikita, this has gone way out of hand. My mom is where she belongs in my heart. Nobody makes a mockery of that. I won't stand for it before, later, no matter what goes on. I'd do the same thing again. I'd knock out anybody that stood in my way. The United States heavyweight title, if they want a best out of seven tournament, that's fine. But this will stay in my hands until I don't have a breath in my body left and offended. Better dead than red, yeah, that's my motto, and I'm real proud of it. I'm real proud to represent all the people out there. If they don't like the way I get things done, well, maybe that's tough. But this is staying in my hands.
That is the boss, Magnum T.A. Let's go to